Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 9, keeping in mind that we are endeavoring to learn the spiritual lessons from this chapter that our God would have us learn. We have learned one lesson concerning the subtlety of Satan, and we began in our last broadcast a discussion of another lesson that was found in the stupidity of Israel. We said that the stupidity of Israel was seen in pride. Joshua, like so many of us, manifested a spirit of pride in feeling that at Gilgal, where the reproach was rolled away and everything was out of the way and they were in perfect fellowship with God, that nothing could happen to them. And we suggested that Joshua should have learned what we ought to learn, and that is the scriptural truth stated in the words, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I want to suggest another indication of their stupidity as it is revealed in this chapter. I use the word presumption to describe it. Pride, presumption. Why do I use this word presumption? Well, it's all summed up in the last statement of verse 14. They ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Presumption? Yes. Here were these men from Gibeon. The Israelites had doubts about them. Did you notice how many questions they asked them? And they kept on asking them questions. They gave the Gibeonites opportunities to lie, and these Gibeonites took the advantage of it. They told a good story to the princes, and they told a better one to Joshua, and Joshua was presumptuous enough to think that he could discern good from evil. He was presumptuous enough to think that he could make a decision without the help of God. What is it that you read in Proverbs chapter 3? Verses 5 and 6. Do you remember? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is what they were doing. They were leaning to their own understanding. They were making an effort to solve the problem themselves. Did you notice? When you read this passage of Scripture, that these Gibeonites never did identify themselves. Joshua said, "Who are you?" And immediately they started talking about how far they'd come. Never once did they say who they were. If they had said, "We are Gibeonites," Joshua would have said, "Well, we are going to take your city next." You see, they were not alert spiritually, the Israelites. They were not exercising the discernment they should have. They were presumptuous enough to think that they knew. And did you notice what it was upon which they based their decision? I never see this without being reminded of how presumptuous we mortals are in making decisions. If you will look down at verse 14, the first statement, Joshua 9:14, "And the men took of their victuals." Now, this is not a very clear translation. It doesn't mean they ate of their food. Who would want to eat that old green moldy bread? No. They didn't eat of their food, but they took it and examined it and noticed that it was green and moldy. And they said, you know, what they are saying must be true. They went by sight and not by spiritual perception. They went on appearances instead of enlightenment. And I want to suggest to you, my friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, perhaps the only thing that you can do is to go by sight. But you don't have to if you know the Lord. You have another outlet. That brings me to the third thing, which was an indication of their stupidity: prayerlessness. Yes, we touched on the last part of verse 14. They ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. What Joshua should have done was to have said, "Well, men, tarry the night if need be. I've got to talk to God about this." Or, if he had wanted to, he could have gone to the priests and said to them, Will you take the Urim and the Thummim, which God has given us to discern his purpose, and tell me whether we ought to make an agreement with these people or not? He could have done that, but he didn't do it. Why didn't he? Well, I've already suggested he probably thought he knew enough without doing it, as oftentimes we do. I will remind you that prayerlessness will dull your discernment. The devil will even let you make a few right decisions without consulting God so that you'll get out of the habit of consulting him. He'll even let you make a few right ones, and then you'll get the idea that he has led you all along, so there's no reason why he won't be leading you now. And you make another decision, but it won't be the Lord. It will be a decision of the flesh. Why did Joshua forget to pray or neglect to pray? Well, he could have said what many of us have said. There isn't time enough to pray. Here are these Gibeonites, and we've got a battle to fight tomorrow. Let's dispense with this thing now. And I dare say that the princes, because you'll notice the emphasis here in this chapter, is that the princes took the responsibility for this. I dare say that the princes said, Joshua, we haven't got time to be seeking the mind of the Lord. Common sense will tell us what to do. Look at these fellows. Let's make an agreement with them and get it over with. May I suggest to you that if you're going to do battle with the devil victoriously, are you noticing what I'm saying? I'm not saying if you're going to do battle against the devil, you'll do that. But I'm saying if you're going to do it victoriously, wait on the Lord. Take time to pray. Nothing, absolutely nothing, needs such an immediate decision that you need to neglect praying about it. There is time to pray. Now, there may have been another reason why Joshua neglected to pray, and that might have been because he didn't want to appear to be a fanatic. How often have people said to me, why do you pray about that? Looks like any ordinary fool would know what to do. And sometimes when I want to be facetious, and perhaps I shouldn't, I say, well, I'm not an ordinary fool. That's why I don't know what to do. The real reason I believe Joshua should have taken time to pray, and perhaps he didn't, is that oftentimes, and will you get this please, the pathway of faith is diametrically opposed to what people call common sense. Will you remember that? Oftentimes, not always, oftentimes the pathway is diametrically opposed to what people call common sense. There were perhaps other reasons, and if you have a fertile imagination, you will be able to think of some other reasons why Joshua was so stupid as to fail to pray about this particular thing. I said to you at the beginning of our discussion that I do thank God that where there is the subtlety of Satan and the stupidity of men, there is the sovereignty of God. And what do I mean by the sovereignty of God? I'm using the word sovereignty in relation to God in the sense that God has the right to do as it pleases him. God has a right, as sovereign, to interfere in the affairs of men, to permit and to refuse to permit certain things in life. Now, when I make a statement like that, you might be concerned and say, well, I don't know whether I like a God like that who interferes in my affairs. Do you know, the only thing that kept the Israelites from killing the Gibeonites when they found out who they were was the sovereignty of God? When God set up his government for Israel, he laid down the principle of irrevocable law, and it has never been rescinded. What is the principle of irrevocable law? It is that whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. With what judgment you judge, it shall be meted to you again. Oh, this irrevocable law in this first phase that I'm thinking about can be expressed in terms such as that and numerous other terms. Where do I find this irrevocable law? In the 9th chapter of Joshua, down in verse 7. The men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And in verse 9 they said, we come from a very far country. What is there about an irrevocable law there? Do you know who the Hivites were? Do you know the first time they are mentioned in the Bible? They are the descendants of Shechem. Do you remember that the sons of Jacob had deceived the Shechemites in a very shameful way? Recorded in chapter 34 of the book of Genesis, they deceived them and practically destroyed them. They lied just exactly like these Gibeonites were lying now. What happened in Genesis chapter 34 brought forth some chickens that didn't come home to roost until chapter 9 of the book of Joshua. Yes, God's irrevocable law is the man that says to the flesh, of the flesh reaps corruption. God restrained the hands of the Israelites in connection with that irrevocable law because they were going to receive just recompense for their deeds. And as we shall see in our next broadcast, God pays man what he sows. It would behoove us all to give serious thought to that, wouldn't it?